So we're gonna worship in our giving in a little bit, but I sense this flow of explaining the supernatural. And so as I'm explaining, I'm going to might as well teach the word, because that's what the words today is all about. I feel just today is a day of releasing wisdom in terms of how to operate in the supernatural and how to steward the supernatural environment. And some of you may be wondering, well, what makes you qualified to teach it? Because God told me to. Plain and simple. And so you can give at this moment. We want to put that up there for those who are online, because if you're watching online and have to dip, we still want you to have an opportunity to sow. And so you can just put that up there briefly for those who are online. Those of you in the room, we'll put it up on the screen for you to see as well. You can sow, but we will give a more formal opportunity for you to sow. We believe in tithing. We believe in sowing and reaping. And we believe it's not just a natural act. It is a supernatural act. And that when you sow your seed into good ground, like Heirs Covenant Church and like the embassy and anybody connected to us, you're going to receive harvest. I mean, it's just a matter of fact. That's just how it is. When you sow, you will receive harvest. There is no maybe. It isn't, oh, that money left my account and let me wait until I get my tax deduction and all of that. No, 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 no. When you sow, you will receive harvest, not from the IRS, but from God. And after you sow, you want to, thank you, Kelvin, you want to call in your harvest. But you don't want to say it's coming. You want to say, my harvest come now. Because if you say it's coming, your tense of the word is always future and never present. Harvest come now. Because in the supernatural, your language has to align with God as well as in the tense that God has said it. A lot of people put things off to the future that God has said when God is saying it for the now. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just thank you for this word. We thank you for everything that you've done so far today, God, the healings and the testimonies that we're expecting, the angelic movement, God, the atmosphere of glory, God, that we stepped into today when we entered this sanctuary, God, that just lingers on this property and in this room. I thank you, God, that the word that you have given me to speak, the revelation and the prophetic utterances, God, will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. We forbid every demonic assignment and activity and spirit of distraction, opposition, false authority, God, manipulation, and all the other spirits that would try to attach itself to the move of God, to drag and delay what God is doing. We cancel out those assignments. We exercise complete, supreme authority. And in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles occurring, not just as a result of this word, but as a result of who you are and your power that you're demonstrating in the earth. And we put ourselves in agreement to be instruments of your power. And if you agree with that, say amen. Go ahead and give them a clap for that. I mean, get a John Hagen, clap your hands in the house of God. Glory to God. You can fade that out. So today we're going to talk about stewarding the supernatural. And I've been wrestling with this prophetic warning that I'm sensing. And I'm not the type, because God is making me the type. I rarely in the past have had to give a prophetic warning about something God is doing. And I notice, and I like to use wisdom, because when you start giving prophetic warnings, some people want to try to clip and make video reactions and say what all they want to say, because they've had a bad experience with someone who operated in the prophetic, and whether they understood it or not, or whether the person was an authentic prophet or not, it just gave a bad taste. So I'm going to say this very general, and I won't share all of it, because the other parts I'll share in private for those who are not on the stream. And so here's the thing. This time of the supernatural, we have to be extremely aware of atmosphere And the time for complacency is gone. The time of, I don't want to say playing with God, but for lack of a term, playing with God, being lukewarm, being in and out, is over. That grace has lifted. We are in the season prophetically where God is demonstrating his power through his people and as acts of his sovereign will. He's going to override people's faith because he is clearly demonstrating the reality of who he is versus the reality of demonic principalities that have set themselves up in the hearts, minds, and places in the earth. And so, just like Ananias and Sapphira, I believe we are in that same kind of season where people have heard of things occurring and they say, oh, that's the law, that's Old Testament. I'm telling you, when God gave me this prophetic warning, it was just like that was the exact passage he gave. That false positioning of Ananias and Sapphira, the spirit of deception that they operated under, it caused them to have a certain kind of consequence. And so I am saying that you need to be extremely, as a body, we need to be extremely, not just a body of heirs, as the body of Christ, we need to be extremely careful of trying to position ourselves in ways that we have not been granted position. Because that false positioning will cause you not to have, I'll just say it this way, what you are trying to get anyway, but also lose what you do have. And then I was like, wow. And then even in Acts 12, it was the same situation where Herod was speaking and the people were like, oh, these are the words of a God and not man. And when he chose to try to take that false positioning upon himself, we saw the consequence. And so what I'm saying is, as God moves supernaturally more and more, really, as his normal becomes our normal more and more, as a body of Christ, we have to be sensitive and aware to how we move, what we say, and what we do. We can no longer release idle words. We can no longer try to position ourselves. We can no longer operate in pride as if we don't want to come under authority. We cannot do that because I'm telling you there are serious spiritual consequences for doing that. God is not on the foolishness. He is demonstrating his power. And in these times and days of power that everybody prays for also comes a renewed sense of awe and fear of the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. I'm telling you, a fresh fear of the Lord released in the earth as he demonstrates his power. No longer will somebody be able to go into a church and rob the preacher in the middle of service, like happened in New York. No longer will people be able to defame and degrade and downgrade and criticize the body of Christ as a whole. Just like they're doing it in music and on movies, I'm telling you, because they've seen foolishness and they're imitating it and thinking, making a mockery of it. I'm telling you, as God is moving powerfully, the mocking will stop because there's a fresh sense of awe. And just like the Dagon idol kept falling, every idol is falling. And so I tell you prophetically that you have to get yourself in alignment. And I'm going to say this other prophetic part that God gave me to write, and I wrote it down, too. And this part, I wasn't going to say it later, but I'm just saying it now as I'm listening, flowing with Holy Spirit. He said this, that some people need to let go of what they used to do and how they used to function in previous seasons. Regardless of the gifting and calling, how they used to function in previous seasons, they need to let go of it. Because if they hold on to what they did in their past season, they will miss the refinement, the preparation, and demonstration that he desires to do in this season, as well as what you will step into in the next. Too many people are wrapped up, tangled up, tied up, and entangled in how they used to operate in the previous season and getting mad because they can't operate that way when God is saying, that's not what I'm calling you to in this season. You are in a new season, new positioning, new gifting, new anointing, and to step in this new level is going to take a little bit of refinement to what has been done already in the past for you to be catapulted not just to your next, but the season after the next and after the next. what I'm sensing, even as I share that, is God is setting some of y'all up for quantum leaps, which means you're going to jump specifically over some steps. But you have to submit to this season of refinement and operating in kingdom at a higher level. Some of us have still been dealing with religion, and we're trying to operate in the gifting and cap from that religious mindset, and God is shattering that mindset so he can give you the quantum leap as you function in kingdom. Religion is one of the things that will hinder the move of God, which is why God plants kingdom ambassadors in the places where there's a high spirit of religion. So I'm telling you prophetically what God is saying, because this is a new season. You can describe it with 1,000 different Bible verses. Isaiah 60 season, the glory season. The Joel 3 season, the time of rain. The season like David when he took the kingdom after Saul was died. All these things we've been preaching and telling you. This is what we are in. Say, it's happening. And a lot of times we hear these words and we put them off in the future, and then we tell you, we read the scripture where God says no more delay, but we still delay mentally and emotionally and thinking, oh, I'll be glad when God do it. I'll be glad when he do it. I'll be glad when he do it. It's already happening. God has already done it. It's happening. Supernatural is happening. Signs, wonders, and miracles are happening. We have to change, even as Pastor Val said it and sent it in an email, we even have to change the way we pray. We cannot pray from the place of being a victim and asking God to help us. We have to pray from a place of authority, releasing his power. It's not like, oh, Jesus, help me. It's Jesus, release your power. You see their threats. They're at it again. We have to change the way we speak. Even some of the lyrics of some of these songs that sound real good, we have to not sing them. Because here's the thing, because you may say, well, God is moving on them. Yes, he is. But just like Joshua told the sun to stand still, and it did, but in reality, the sun didn't stand still. The earth stood still. Because we know that the sun doesn't even move, the earth rotates around the sun. But Joshua didn't have that understanding, so he prayed at his level of understanding, and God responded. But when God gives you a new level of understanding, you have to pray and speak at that new level of understanding. So we can't be praying, asking for a move of God anymore, and I know we wrote that song, because we're in the move of God. We can't be praying, send your power, when we know the power already came on the day of Pentecost. We can't say, God bless me, when the scripture already says the blessing of the Lord is on us and we have become the seed of Abraham. We have to align our words. And so the supernatural is a mindset and perspective that is shaped by faith, which impacts how we use our faith. And how we use our faith will impact our words and how we implement the corresponding actions. The supernatural is a perspective. It's a realm of faith. Well, actually, faith is a realm of the supernatural. But it's something that shapes our minds and our behaviors and everything we do. And it's for everybody. Say it's for me. Now, if you don't feel like you've been ignited to lay hands on the sick and they recover, you will be today. And then the higher place is you don't even have to lay the hands on the sick. You just declare it and just keep it moving. Because in the realm of glory, there are no hands that need to be laid. Because the glory is the essence of who God is. It's the ten. See, a lot of people like, give God glory, give God glory. And then we think giving him glory is something we do with our mouths, which is true. But the glory, when you think about it, is the essence of his nature. So in the atmosphere of glory, the essence of his nature touches people and causes healing to occur and new body parts to grow. Let me show you something about Revelation. Then I want to dig into John 11, which is where we're going to spend most of our time. John 11 is a very often taught scripture at this house because it's a scripture we use to teach about what a worshiper is and how you're intimately acquainted with and have a daily relationship with God demonstrated by your obedience. That's the definition of a worshiper. But also in that chapter has four keys to making the supernatural your normal. And so I want to pull that out today, but I want to show you something about Revelation first. So in John chapter 5, verse 17, it says this. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees, unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. I'm sorry, that was John 5, verse 19, not 17, verse 19. So notice the correlation. Jesus said, what I do is what I see my Father do. And what I see the Father do is what I do just like I'm seeing him do it. And then in verse 20, he says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these so that you will marvel. So we see the Father showing the Son doing what he sees the Father doing, like he sees the Father doing. And we see greater works being showed to the Son for greater works being revealed by the Father to be performed by the Son. You tracking with me, right? Okay, so, and then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, I'm telling you, wisdom is being poured out today. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, it says, but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which has not entered to the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. A lot of people quote that and stay there. The eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and they worship God with that. But here's the thing. Verse 10 is the caveat to that. For to us, say us, God revealed them through the Spirit. And that's capital. So he's talking about Holy Spirit, not the ookie dookie spirit and all that other stuff that people trying to do. Talking about the spirit told me. The spirit ain't told you nothing. Hush up. Because people listening to their own flesh or to a demon, I'm going to just be real. And they're going to say it's the spirit. Well, what spirit are you referring to? You can't believe every spirit, every thought that comes to you. Ain't of God. Even tongue talking and Holy Ghost filled, the enemy would try to send thoughts to you and make you think it's Holy Spirit. And when you accept and act on them, you are now coming under the submission of the demon, and then you are doing the demon's work. And I know that sounds rough, but that's just what it is. Take it from somebody God delivered from the new age. I'm telling you, that's just what it is. A lot of people try to fluff it and be like, oh, you just, no. When you submit to the demonic thought, which is any thought that is not in alignment with the word of God, that gives you a twisting on what is happening that God is doing and a twisting and a distorted perspective on the people of God, then when you submit to that and operate on it, now you are operating under the influence of the demonic. That's why the Bible says, do not yield your members to sin, but to righteousness. And most people think, well, I'm not taking that drink. I ain't out there fornicating. I'm not yielding to sin. Yielding to sin is doing anything that's not in alignment with the word or what God has told you to do. Because sin means missing the mark. And you have to be very careful. As God is moving supernaturally, there's a lot of excitement in the air, a lot of, ooh, I'm sensing something. And then somebody's going to yield to trying to do something that ain't in line with how the flow is going. So you have to be careful, even more so as when in the atmosphere of miracles, which we are constantly in. And that's why I believe God gave me that prophetic warning. We're constantly in the atmosphere of miracles. That's why we have to up our carefulness. The degree of care we had before, where you could come in and you could talk during prayer and fellowship and ask people how their weekend was, that's not properly stewarding the atmosphere for miracles in this season. That's why you might get mad at me when I ask you to be quiet or take your conversations out there. And I'm just using this house as an example. But it's the same thing in your house, in your own house. You got to shut down certain conversations. When people call you with the foolishness, voicemail, press the button. Be like on Rush Hour. Go ahead, press the button. Press the button. Because if somebody calls you to pull you into an unfruitful conversation, now your atmosphere is contaminated. Because you engaged in it. Why do you think Jesus often withdrew to pray? Alone time with God, but also preserving the stewarding, the atmosphere for the supernatural. Now I understand why when I used to watch Benny Hinn, how he'd be like, hush, hush, hush. I used to wonder why he was always telling people to hush. But I get it. Because when Holy Spirit is moving, there's like a hush. And then stuff, just idle noise and idle things can just be a distraction and a disruption. Now, if we stay in the eye has not seen mindset, we will miss what God is doing. Our faith will be attached to not hearing, not seeing, not receiving the revelation that Holy Spirit is releasing. Holy Spirit came so we can see. Holy Spirit's assignment is to reveal the Father. That's what it said, verse 10, for God revealed them through the Spirit, talking about Holy Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. He says, for who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, you got to connect that to verse 12, where it says, now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know, say no, the things freely given by God. So let's connect the dots. Jesus said, the things I'm doing is what I see the Father do. The supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles that he worked, that never had to be worked for him, remember that. He did them because he was in the posture of keeping his eyes on the Father, and what the Father showed him, he did exactly like what he saw. Then he said, the Father's going to show me greater. So the Son could do those greater, right? But then he said, we would do greater because he's going to the Father. Now that means when he went to the Father, that means we became the right to be called sons of God. And so now the greater that the Father is showing, we get to partake of because we're sons. And I'm not talking about gender. I'm talking about positioning. And because we are sons by position, the greater that the Father is revealing, we get to see. So now we can do what we see the Father doing like he's doing it. You guys see that? And it's revealed to us by Holy Spirit. Because the revelation postures us to operate in the supernatural and operate in the greater works. But the revelation must be in who God is, his power, our authority in him, and that revelation must extend beyond his love and character to how he demonstrates that love and character through his power. Some people stop at, oh, God is so loving. The character and nature of God is so love. Yes, but he's also a warrior and a king, and he's aggressive. I've heard people say, well, when did Jesus call us aggressive? Because they were looking at the Matthew 11, 12. And I'm like, that scripture clearly is talking about aggression and not pacifying and being soft serve in how you demonstrate the kingdom. It takes a level of aggression in your faith to walk in the supernatural. And then Jesus said, in another place, you think I came to bring peace, but a sword. But he's the Prince of Peace. So a lot of people think demonstrating the power of God is warm and fuzzy and succumbing to everything. Oh, and I just love you with the love of the Lord. Sometimes the demonstrating the love of God is not tolerating the foolishness and causing things to be broken. I love you, so I'm going to get you free. Your freedom is worth more than you being mad at me for 5 minutes. Because once you are free, you're going to be like, woo, thank you. That's why we have to be tough. You can't worry about somebody getting mad at you in the moment. You got to love them to deliver them and keep it moving. Because if I love you, I'm not going to let you stay in bondage to the devil. I'm not going to let you live beneath your privilege. I'm not going to let you operate less than what God has called you to operate in. So I'm going to push you. So then check this out. Let me just hammer this revelation home real quick, and then I'm going to get to John 11. In Matthew 10, let's connect some dots. Matthew 10, verse 1, it says, Jesus summoned the 12 disciples, or his 12 disciples. I love the way it said his 12 disciples. I'm a disciple of Jesus. In a time where everybody's trying to get a disciple, everybody wants to be somebody's spiritual father, spiritual parent. Everybody wants to be somebody's apostle, somebody's prophet, and half of these are false prophets and false apostles. And well, I want to say half. That's too strong of a word. That's too strong. There are a good majority of people who are operating and who are saying they are apostles and prophets, and they're not. The Bible talks about it in Revelations. He told one church, he said, you tried those who claim to be apostles and found them to be false. Part of it is because people are trying, like Paul wrote about, trying to aspire to a position or claim a authority that's not theirs. But the other part is people who misunderstand the apostolic grace and anointing, and because there's a grace and anointing of the apostolic on them, they all of a sudden assume that they are an apostle. And the same thing happens with the prophetic, and the same thing happens with the teaching and pastoral. There's a pastoral anointing on somebody, and all of a sudden they say, oh, I'm supposed to pastor. Let me go start a church. No, you not. Sit down. And so I'm telling you, it's the rightly dividing of the word and the revelation of the spiritual gifts and operation is what helps us to get into alignment. And when we are in alignment with the assignment God has put on our lives, we can see and demonstrate the supernatural. Part of the hindrances that some people are experiencing with the signs, wonders, and miracles is they're simply out of alignment. Some people are trying to start a church when they should be pastoring in the marketplace. I'm just saying. So Matthew 10, verse 1, it says, Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Then he gives them some more instruction, right? So let's look down at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them. Do not go in the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was their assignment. He told them specifically where they should go. Notice, Jesus sent them, gave them a specific assignment. The authority to walk in the supernatural and perform those signs in verse 1 were conditional upon them being in alignment with their assignment. And then look at verse 7. And as you go, preach. Preach means simply to proclaim or publish. So release, publish, tell people about the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning to be experienced. Verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. A lot of people quote that last part, you know, when it's talking about money. That's true. But look, check this out. What did they receive? Freely you have received, freely give. Meaning what has been deposited into you, freely release. The gifts of God that have been deposited in you, you should be releasing all the time. And you should, and you shouldn't be like, well, I'm not going to go there. I'll just stay there. You should be releasing it. And God will show you where and how. Because you can't be waiting on a scheduled gathering to release your gifting. Because God has a scheduled gathering for you every day. So, but what was it that they received that they were supposed to give? Back in verse 1. The authority over clean, unclean spirits to cast them out. The healing to heal every kind of disease. And to heal every sickness. That was what they were to freely give, because that was what they received. So the supernatural power to demonstrate miracles is what they had received and what they were supposed to freely release as they talked about the kingdom of heaven. Y'all seeing that? All right, let me see how much time I got. Okay, I'm doing good. Look at John 11. John 11. We're going to start actually at verse 21, but I got to give you the backdrop of what's going on in John 11. Now, it is my prayer that you are being, your faith is being ignited right now to work the supernatural. And you might have to listen to this again, which is why we offer replays. And you might have to take some notes and pray into it. Because Sunday morning teaching time can't cover everything. And you can't just hear it once and be like, "Woo, that was a good word," and just keep it moving. The goal of God giving revelation is for you to walk in it. And the goal of us teaching it is, one, being obedient to God. Because if we don't teach it, that's on us. We're held accountable. But then, two, is so you can walk in it. We didn't say, and we do not say, that Ayers is an equipping center just because it sounded good. It is actually our assignment. And there's a big difference between being in a place that equips you than a place that inspires you. I can go somewhere and be inspired all day long. But after inspiration, I have to have the revelation to walk out what I was just inspired about. And not only do I need the revelation, I need the supernatural power on me to walk it out. See, inspiration is based upon emotions and momentary feelings of joy and excitement. But after the excitement wears off, you still have the assignment. And the assignment doesn't change because you're less excited or more excited. And to be truthful, the assignment doesn't change because you're facing challenges. It don't change. It doesn't change whether you were recognized or not. It doesn't change because you start facing challenges. It doesn't change because people stop understanding you. It just doesn't change. So in John 11, we know this incident is when Lazarus died. And we know ultimately Jesus raised him back to life. We know Jesus gets word. He was about a day's journey away, what most of the information will say. And he gets word that Lazarus is sick. Jesus was like, "All right, cool." But he waits two more days. You ever been in a place where it seemed like you wanted God to do something, but it seemed like he was waiting? It's like, why tarry thou, Jesus? Why tarry thou? Make you want to start talking King James to him. Why tarrieth thou, Lord, God Almighty? So, Lazarus dies. Jesus waits 2 days, and then he tells his disciples, let's go down to Bethany. And they're like, what? You was just there, and they were going to try to stone you. And then he tells them, well, we can creep in at night, basically. Because he says, our friend Lazarus is asleep, and I'm going to go wake him. But the disciples was like, well, if he's asleep, he'll wake up and be all right. Notice how Jesus is having a conversation, but it's like they're talking on two different levels. Jesus is speaking from a higher place of revelation, seeing that the Lazarus death was just sleep and I'm waking him up. And the disciples was like, oh, if he just sleep, he'll be all right. And then he says plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sake I wasn't there. Sometimes it's one of those things where when things happen contrary, we begin to blame God versus exalt God. And so he tells them, I'm going to raise him up. And so they go. And by the time he gets there, Lazarus had been dead 4 days now. So I can imagine that during the time when they first got word is probably when Lazarus first died, if you kind of do the math. And so they get there, and the first person John sees is Martha. She runs out to him at verse 21. Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. We know the presence of God protects us from certain things. But we know sometimes stuff still happens. And I'm not going to pretend like I know why God allows certain stuff to happen. I just know that sometimes he does. But I also know when he does, he gets greater glory. Because there is a difference between giving God glory and God getting the glory. And sometimes God just like allows himself to get greater glory so he can really make himself really known to some folks who would not have seen it or known it or thought it. So Martha says, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Now, she said, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. But I know what you ask God, he'll give you. That almost sounds like a statement of faith, but it wasn't quite there for the demonstration of the supernatural. And here's why. You'll see it in verse 23. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Then in verse 24, she said, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. See, her faith wasn't for the now, it was for the later. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Point number one to making the supernatural your normal and stewarding it is this. Stop waiting for an event when Jesus is the event. They were waiting. She was like, he gonna get up on the last day. You're talking to the resurrection. You don't have to wait to the last day because he is the first and the last. So don't wait for an event when Jesus is the event. You don't have to schedule, wait till we schedule a healing service. He is the healing service. And then verse 26, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ. Look at that. Look at that tense. I have believed. She was in a place of questioning her faith in Jesus. that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Then Jesus says to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Point number two. The level of glory that we experience is based upon our level of faith. And I'm going to ask you, are you willing to believe for perpetual glory? That was a Selah moment, and I know y'all are processing. But are you willing to believe for perpetual glory? Because if so, that means you don't have to wait on the worship team to tune up. You just jump in. That means even before the music turns on, you can speak in tongues. When you enter the building, it's... When I came into the building this morning, I was like, oh, God, I sense your glory. But you want to know a secret? Before I got here, I sensed his glory. That's why you got to run to the presence of God. But that's why you got to know that you're always in the presence of God. Now, let's skip down to verse 41. It says, he told them to remove the stone, right? And they were like, well, he's been in there a couple of days. He's stinking. Now, in verse 41, it says, they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. But he didn't even speak nothing out loud yet. And then he says, I knew that you always hear me. Every word we say, God hears it. Not just the ones you are praying. When you think you are in prayer, every word you say, God hears it. And there's a spiritual response to every word you say. So when you speak God's word and make decrees, then there is a host of heaven that begin to move. When you don't speak God's word, then you created a construct for demons to move and use that construct. Every word provokes something in the realm of the spirit. And you don't have to wait to pray or say a certain type of prayer in order to operate in the supernatural. If you believe, you are living in perpetual glory because Holy Spirit is in you as well as on you. You don't have to shabakanda handas for 10 minutes before you declare healing. You just have to align with how God is moving and then say what he's telling you to say. Because he might tell you to wait before you declare it, because he may be doing something in the hearts of the people so that they could be in the posture to receive. But then he might just say, look, say that thing, let it loose. You see what I'm saying? So then he says, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. Here's your third key. Expect and understand that God hears you every time you speak and that there is a response from God and movement from heaven at the sound of your voice. At your voice. I'm emphasizing your voice. Say my voice. Say my voice. So you can call me and I'll get an agreement, but I'm going to ask you, did you decree over it yourself first? Did you take authority first? You can call me and say, hey, so-and-so need prayer for healing. All right, I'm in agreement. What did you pray? So-and-so just passed away. Did you go lay hands? Did you ask Jesus, are they getting up? Or did you just let it be settled? I'm just saying, because some folks scared to lay hands on somebody dead. And because, one, they don't like touching them because it feel all funny. But then, two, they just wondering, is it going to work? Is it going to work? Is it going to work? It don't matter if you ain't the one that's working the miracle. You're the instrument. Jesus said it's the Father doing the works. So it's God doing the works through us. So if you lay hands and the person don't get up, that's okay. That means they just got comfortable in heaven. They just feel like staying. And then when you see the next person that died and God told you lay hands, guess what you're going to do? Go lay hands on them too. What you going to do, Cletus? I'm going to lay hands. It's like that cartoon. You remember that cartoon, Kel and Pinky in the Brain? He's like, what we going to do today, Brain? Same thing we do every day, Pinky. We going to lay hands. We going to raise the dead. We going to heal the sick. We going to cast out the demon. We going to grow out ligaments. We going to see new body parts come from heaven. We going to see gold dust fall down. We going to see angel feathers come. We going to have us. We going to experience the glory in such a way where folks going to just pass out from walking in. People that come late going to be like, what I miss? We'll pick you up in 5 seconds. You're about to pass out. All right, last point. Verse 43. When he had said these things, talking about Jesus, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Fourth key. Use your God-given authority to speak to the thing in the name of Jesus. Notice Jesus didn't say, Father, raise Lazarus from the dead. He spoke to Lazarus and said, get up. A lot of times, and this was so in line with what Pastor Val was saying even last week and when in the email. A lot of times we direct our prayers to God when we should be taking authority over the thing and speaking to the thing. We asking God to raise somebody and God like, look, I gave you power. I sent you to raise the dead. It's your turn now. You up, chief. You in the game. Go, go. So to walk in the supernatural, remember, you have to stop waiting for an event because Jesus is the event. You got to expect and understand that he hears you every time you speak and there's a response from heaven at the sound of your voice. You got to remember that the level of glory that we experience is based upon our level of faith, and you must attach your faith to perpetual, always flowing glory. And then you have to use your God-given authority to speak to the situation in the name of Jesus.